Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and I wanted to preach on the flow of God tonight, and but the Holy Spirit wouldn't release me to do that. And I want to talk about seasons in our life. I want to talk about surviving the seasons. Look at somebody and tell them, just survive the seasons. Come on now. Because everybody's going through a season. Everybody's dealing with something. Amen? But I promise I'm going to make it make sense here in just a few moments. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and I pray that you'll be blessed by the word of God. Amen. Don't get nervous. I won't preach on all the seasons. We should be out before 10 o'clock. I got a feeling I got some wild folk in here that'll hang with me. Come on. I was in a country church up in the hills, and I said, I'm going to preach probably until 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. And the old guy back there with Bill Overall stood up and says, let her rip, potato chip. I said, man, I've been calling a lot of names. Oh, there he is right there. What's up, big boy? Come on, somebody. That's his cousin right there. So at the end of the service, Pastor, because we travel pretty deep. I mean, they have several, security guards. And these were big guys. And so at the end of the service, he says, brother, well, I wanted to say, let her rip chocolate chip, but you got 3 big black fellas with you. I said, yeah, you're a smart man. If I don't preach the hell out of you, they'll put the hell out of you. All right, I got to get to the book. All right, come on, somebody. Praise God. I don't want to lose half of y'all in here, all right? But this message tonight, come on, I need y'all to come back. Come on. Okay. This message tonight, I promise you, is going to minister to you if you open your heart. And I believe the Lord's going to pour in the wine and the oil, yes, amen, right, for healing on tonight. Yes, praise God. Did y'all enjoy Brother Rich tonight? Yes. Praise God. You clap loud enough, you'll come back. Come on. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Amen. Read with me. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Amen. Then he starts by saying, the time to be born and the time to die, time to plant and the time to pluck up that which was planted, time to kill and the time to heal, time to break down and a time to build up, time to weep and a time to laugh, time to mourn and a time to dance. I'll stop right there. I just want to preach tonight for a few moments, surviving the seasons of your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Before we ask you for anything, we want to thank you for everything. You've been good to us in spite of what we're going through. And Holy Spirit, I pray tonight that you'll anoint our ears that we may hear, not Bishop, but we may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let your word go forth with power, signs, and wonders, and demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. Now, in the name of Jesus, we bind any spirit that will come to interrupt or interfere with the flow of God. Let your spirit have free course on tonight. And for this, we give you glory. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands on your way down. Would you do that? Praise God. Out of all the messages, ladies and gentlemen, that I've preached across the country and the messages that the Lord will allow me to share with you on this week, amen, there's not any that's more important than what I'm going to, amen, break bread with you on tonight. Seasons, amen. We all go through different seasons. And this is more of a teaching message, but maybe we can preach. What's that? Preach and teach. Is that all right? Somebody said, what's the difference in preaching and teaching? One yell it and the other one tell it. Come on, somebody. So I'm going to try to yell it and tell it. Is that all right? I know teaching is explaining, preaching is proclaiming, but it's still the word of the Lord. All right? To everything, there is a season. There are times and seasons in our life. Now, amen, I could preach all over the Bible when it comes to times and seasons. The Bible says that the men of Issachar had an understanding of the times and the seasons. They didn't stop there. And they knew what Israel was supposed to do. Come on, somebody. Now, times and seasons are very important. If you don't believe that, amen, if you read in the book of Luke, the Bible says that Jesus himself, he speaks to the people and says, you miss your visitation. Anybody ever read that? He says, I was here, and you didn't know it until after I was gone. Ladies and gentlemen, it's too late in the evening to miss what God has for us. I don't know about you, but I want all that God has in store for me. Come on, somebody. Amen. Touch your neighbor and tell them, don't miss your season. Don't miss your season because, amen, the, thing about a season, ladies and gentlemen, you can't get it back. You have to wait until the next season comes around. Now, when you deal with timing, timing is somewhat different. Although, amen, timing is a part of the season. Praise God. Now, there's chronos, and you know, chronos time is what? It's simply watch time. It's clock time. It's measured time. Amen. It's time that we measure by days, weeks, months, and years. That's chrono. Chrono time. But kairos moments are different moments. They're set time and opportune time. It's when God steps into time and stops time to fulfill a promise, amen, that he's made in your life. Come on, somebody. Amen. And some of you are about to experience a kairos moment. You've been praying, you've been talking to God, amen, you've been asking God, amen, to deliver, you've been asking God to come through for you, but I believe God sent me here as your little Western Union boy with some certified mail, baby, to let you know your kairos moment is about to be manifest. Somebody give God a praise right now. On the right, onto the right, there are kairos moments, amen, and I just want to deal with about three, maybe four seasons tonight, and I promise you, I will not be your sleeping pill. Come on, somebody. I tell you, like Elizabeth Taylor told her seven husbands, I won't be keeping you long. Yeah. And she did, even. Amen. Now listen, you have to understand, number one, the first season I want to deal with, and it's the most difficult season, and it's called the waiting season. Come on, shout it with me, the waiting season. Nobody likes to wait. Come on now. Amen. Oh, God. Amen. When it comes to waiting, it becomes difficult, it's hard, and sometimes it's even painful. And a lot of people grow weary and well-doing while they're waiting on the promise to come to pass. And some of you are this close, you're that close from, amen, your breakthrough. And I'm telling you, amen, you're about to throw the towel in, but you grab that towel and shake it in the devil's face and tell him, I'm not giving up, I'm not giving out, and I'm not giving in. Anybody just sense in your spirit that you're getting close. Come on, somebody. Amen. That God's about to open a supernatural door for you. Amen. There's something miraculous that's getting ready to take place. Who did God send me here to talk to? Your time is about to come. Amen. To break forth. Matter of fact, the Lord told me to tell you that your time is pregnant. Amen. With days, months, weeks, and years. And it's getting ready to birth destiny. Somebody give him a praise. Let me talk to you tonight. Y'all love today, and you really like the wait, but you hate the wait. Hello. Some of y'all just got it. Come on. Praise God. But it's a waiting period. It's a waiting. And we want, you know, we live in this jet set microwave age, and we want what we want, and we want it right now. But how many of you know, some things you got to wait on. I mean, people are so impatient today. I mean, not in Arkansas, in Missouri, all right? Amen. I'm telling you, I mean, you get in a traffic jam today, man, I tell you, if you're not careful and you don't walk in the spirit of cuss will come on you. I didn't say out of you, I said on you. Okay, all right, let me say it slow so I can say it some more. Come on, somebody. Amen. But the people are so impatient and they're honking their horns because they don't want to wait. Come on now. That's the society that we live in. It's a jet set microwave age. But there are some things you got to wait on. But how do you know God has a waiting period for all of us? When I was preparing this message, I thought about it. It's been 20 plus years ago. I was in an assembly of God, amen, in a country church in the woods, literally in the woods. And I remember preaching that week's revival. And on Friday night, I remember it just as if, amen, it was yesterday. I preached on faith and believing God and waiting on God. And at the end of that service, man, it was a phenomenal move of God. And I remember we were dismissing the service, and everybody had their hands lifted and their heads bowed. And there was a blonde-headed girl in the back, and she just started waving. I thought she was beckoning the pastor. And I said, do you have a prayer request? And she screamed out from the back. She says, yes. I said, well, what do you want the Lord to do for you? And she screamed out and said, I want a baby. The whole church got quiet. And come on now. You know, where I'm from, white people turn pink and red, and white people turn purple and blue. Come on, somebody. There was some rainbow colors in there that night. And so I looked at the pastor, he looked at me, and I said, well, come on down. She said, you preached on faith tonight, and we've been trying to have children for 8 years. I said, well, I have good news. In Hebrew, 8 is the number of new beginnings. Amen. I said, well, we're going to pray for you. I said to my wife, come up, and we're going to lay hands on her. I said, man, is your husband here? She turned around and said, get up here. She was a sassy little thing. Come on, somebody. Well, he comes walking up, and he's turned red as a fire truck. Come on, somebody. And we anointed them and laid hands on them. Praise God. And you know, you leave one place, you're going, you don't always remember what you say to people. So I'm in my hometown. They live about 30 miles from us. I'm coming to the Walmart checkout line. This blonde-headed lady comes through the door, and she screams. Amen. She says, Brother Webb, look! I said, huh? She says, remember me? I said, no. She says, you know? I said, no, I don't. I'm thinking, who is this crazy woman? Come on. My God, I mean, I'm standing there, and the cashier, she stopped, everybody in line stopped, and she's right there at those, electronic doors when you walk in. And I'm thinking, who in the world is this lady? She says, remember the last time we was together? I said, oh, God! You're going to kill my ministry! Come on, somebody. And I'm thinking, who is it? And so I stepped out of the line. I said, come on, let's talk a little bit. She said, brother, when you were in Williamsville, you prayed for me, my husband and I. And I said, yeah. I said, now tell all these people in Walmart. And she said, I'm pregnant. I went to the doctor, and they tried everything, but nothing worked. And I'm telling you, that lady, amen, had a beautiful daughter, and it was 5 years later, we ran into her again at a restaurant, pastor, and she's pregnant again. And she says, hey, this is baby number 5. I said, oh my God, come back through the prayer line so we can reverse the curse. Come on, son. But here's the point that I'm making. She waited 8 years, amen, and it looked like it wasn't going to happen. Matter of fact, the devil told her that you better adopt and that's okay, amen. But she said, I've been trusting God and waiting on God. Don't miss this. And God made me a promise that I was going to have children. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but it happened. Come on, somebody. If there's somebody in this house tonight, you've been trusting God when you can't trace God and look like God had come through for you, but he sent me here tonight to tell you, amen, hold on. Amen, your waiting period is just about over and you're about to experience a miracle. Who did God send me here to talk to? If I'm preaching to you, open up your mouth and shoot out a praise right now. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, wait on the Lord. Amen. Listen, this is what he told me to tell you, that your waiting is not a waste. Say it with me, my waiting is not a waste. And some of you here, if you're not careful, the devil starts speaking in your head. You're getting old now. You should have been married by now. You've gone to every wedding. Come on. All of your girlfriends have got married, and you caught them. And you caught at least 5 bouquets. Hello. Yeah. Matter of fact, every flower you see, you spit on them. But God said, I got a time for you. Yeah, come on, I got you waiting in the wings like Esther. Huh? Can I say that again? Just hold on. Don't get impatient. Amen. God's got the right person for you. Amen. And they're coming at the right time. And you don't need substitutes until the real one shows up. Okay, I didn't get no help right there. So some of y'all go home and tell Joe, you gotta go. Tell, okay, Pretty Boy Floyd, who is unemployed, to get the step in. Come on. I didn't get no help right there. Tell them no contract, no contact. Hello, somebody. All right, I better stop right there. I thought I was somewhere else. Come on. I thought I was in Chicago, and I thought I had a freedom. Come on. Tell them no man, we ain't going to bed, and no ring, nothing. Hello, somebody. Give God a praise tonight. Tell them I'm waiting on God. Amen. I'm preserving myself, just like Esther, and God's got a king waiting on you. Give him a praise tonight. says, wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. Yes. Praise God. Amen. Season number two, I'm moving quickly. It's a season of growth. All of us are going to go through a season of growth. And let me tell you, when you're going through a season of growth, it becomes a pruning season where God begins to cut dead limbs off. Come on now. And God begins to separate certain things. And God begins, begin to amputate certain people out of your life. Because everybody start with you, won't stay with you. Come on. And then there are some people that was good for where you are, but they're not good for where you're going because you're entering into a new season. Can you say amen? Don't worry about the people that have left. Come on, somebody. Some of them needed to go. Come on. Amen. Because your trouble happened when they left. Sometimes we try to hold on to people that God says let go. I was in Virginia preaching, and a pastor said to me that, amen, he had some people come and join the church, and there was a big family, and I'm telling you, they were controlling and manipulating, and they were undermining the leadership while sitting in the pew, praise God. And he says, you know, I mean, it was a thorn in his flesh. And he says, finally, he started praying, Lord, if they don't have the right spirit, just let them leave. Come on now. And they left, and they went and joined another church. And the pastor called my friend and said, hey, do you have problems over there? Because I got a large group from your church. He says, not anymore. You got them. Come on, somebody. We don't like to see people leave. We like to try to hold on to them. Amen. But there comes a time where God says, no, amen, they're only seasonal. I sent them here for a certain season. And when that time is up, amen, let them move on. Pray for them. Amen. Don't wish them no bad. Ain't nothing bad. Just pray blessings on them. Amen. But keep on moving. Because sometimes we have a problem of letting go. All of us. Come on now. Amen. But it's a part of your growing season. Praise God. And when God begins to amputate certain things out of our life and things you thought you had to have, God says, no, 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 no. Amen. The only one you have to have is me. Come on now. Amen. You can make it without them, but you can't make it without him. In him we live. In him we move. And in him we have our being. Come on, somebody. Praise God. And listen, any separation brings pain. It's hurtful. It's painful. Amen. But how do you know God will bring the healing? We had a gentleman that was doing some pruning and trimming. Amen. You know, he's taking care of the buildings and ground. And we had beautiful flowers out there. And man, I had gone on a revival and run a revival. I come back and I pulled in the parking lot. And my God, he had trimmed them down to just bare limbs. And I'm like, uh-oh. This is not good. And apparently he saw a look on my face. Come on. And he says, Bishop, just calm down. He says, I had to get rid of some of those old dead limbs. He says, but when it grows back, it's going to look a whole lot better. And I'm thinking, I hope that God will hear it and grow back. But what I'm looking at now doesn't look too good. And let me tell you, amen, less than a month, amen, those flowers begin to bloom again, and now they're healthy. Come on, amen. And sometimes God takes us through a pruning season, and he's cutting things. And come on, let's be honest. How many know that all of us got some stuff that he needs to cut off of us? What did Jesus say? He says, listen, I'm going to cut on you. I'm going to trim on you so that you can bear much fruit. Come on, somebody. Amen. And let me tell you something. You have not been as successful as you're going to be, but there's certain things that God has to cut away. Because sometimes, amen, we have a button that people push, and we get real angry and go off on people, and God says, I got to cut that anger out of you, and I got to cut that bad attitude out of you. Come on. Amen. You got a spirit called pride. You never humble yourself, so I got to keep on cutting on you until you humble yourself. I can't use you with an arrogant spirit. I can't use you when your head's in the cloud. I can't use you. Come on. Amen. When you're bumping hands and combative with everybody, you got to learn to walk in humility. Hello, somebody. We don't like it, but it's a part of it, and that's why we're having revival. Because, amen, you shouldn't wait until a prophet called you out. You ought to call yourself out. He said, there's some stuff in me I don't even like. You don't need a preacher to come and tell you that. Come on now. Amen. Just look in the mirror. Come on, somebody. Praise God. U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no L about you're ugly. You're ugly. Talking about people in the circle. You see how everybody gets happy and start laughing? They're like, yeah! Amen. So sometimes God has us to take a look at ourselves.
Yes, sir.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I was sharing a story, amen, and it's a true story. It was minister and his wife, they were having some issues, and so they decided to separate in their own house. He moved downstairs, she stayed upstairs, and he said, Lord, straighten that woman out. And she was up there saying, Lord, straighten that man out. Yeah. They was praying on one another instead of praying for one another. Yeah. And God began to deal with both of them. This is a true story. Amen. While they were saying, Lord, straighten her out, the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, no, you need to be straightened out. And while she said, Lord, straighten him out, he needs to end up. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you need to be straightened out. And let me tell you, they met upstairs and they both repented. And then one said, you know what? God showed me me. Come on. Amen. While I was born at you, amen, God showed me some things in me that I need to work on. And that young lady said, God showed me some things that I needed to work on. And they repented and asked for forgiveness. And let me tell you, their marriage is the strongest it's ever been. And now God's using them to minister to other married couples. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that everything you go through is just a season. And my God, sometimes, amen, you just, oh God, you know what I'm talking about. You have those seasons, amen. And let me jump to the next one. It's called the seasons of frustration. And that's where some of you are right now. You say, if one more thing happened, it'll push me over the edge. But look at your neighbor and tell them, it's only a season. Amen. Some of you in here right now, you're all opposers in your own home. And that's not the will of God. Amen. And the devil's standing right in between both of you all. And he's dancing in between. And right, you're fussing and fighting. And you know what? You can fix it just like that by rebuking the enemy and coming together. Amen. And pleading the blood and put the devil on the run. Come on. How much longer are you going to stay in a home where you've got a combative spirit? Amen. Where you're cussing and fussing and arguing at one another when all you have to do is stand up and tell the devil where to go. Come on, somebody. Praise God. It's a season. Everybody goes through a season.
Yeah.
I hear these people stand up sometimes. Oh, you know, we've been married for 35 years and we've never had one argument. I want to throw the mic at them. Everybody has a disagreement every now and then. That doesn't make you bad. That's just you still learning one another.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. It's part of it. Amen. Just remember when you first fell in love. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, that young lady had a picture of that man. She's showing all of her friends on the job. Look, he's sugar man.
Yeah.
6 months later, he's booger man. I ain't getting no help in this church anymore. It's the same way with a man. He's going around telling all the fellas, man, how this thing's going. Oh, man, for 6 months, it's selling on the sea of her love. 6 months later, stormy weather since we've been together. Hello. I'm preaching good. Y'all just ain't saying nothing to me. Come on. Amen. If you're not careful, you'll get frustrated. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Amen. It's called life. And now, how many parents in here? Amen. I mean, those children, you love them. Oh, God, you love them. But every now and then, you want to grab them by the hair and jack them up in Jesus' name. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Praise God. God bless us with three. Any, many, many, and shallow won't no more. Come on, somebody. And I'm telling you the truth. Praise God. And there have been some days where I said, Lord, Lord, you got to help me with this one. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. And I'm telling you, and you wonder what has gotten into the body of my baby. And then if you're not careful, you'll start blaming yourself. Amen. I taught him the church. I taught him. Amen. But here's the problem. You're not the only teacher. The school taught them. Their friends, the streets taught them. Come on, somebody. Amen. The television taught them. Y'all got to help me preach. And while you sitting there blaming yourself, it has nothing to do with you. There's another spirit that has taken over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you're sitting here tonight frustrated. stubborn God and I feel like preaching. But the Father take it by force. You gotta shut up and let the devil know. You don't run things in my house. Hello, somebody. I gotta give him a praise. And you're frustrated. And if you're not careful, you become so frustrated that you don't even want to come to church. And when you get here, you can't even worship. Because the enemy has sat in your chest. And now the spirit of anxiety has set in. And then you're sitting here worrying and worrying and worrying. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. But in all things, with prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving. Be anxious. That word anxious is an interesting word. It means don't worry about things that haven't happened yet. And then another translation says, don't worry about things that may not ever happen.
Yeah.
Wow. How many of us concern ourselves with things and we worry and we worry and we worry and some of those things you're worrying about never happen. So what do you got to do? You got to trust God. You got to release your children to God. Because if you don't, come on somebody, you'll want to give them a word that's not from the Lord. And all the parents said, amen. That's where we are right now. Amen. As I travel the country, amen, there's so many grandparents raising their kids because their kids are strung out on drugs or they're in prison somewhere. You know, they had this organization called Angel Tree. You may be familiar with it here. I don't know what they call it in different states. And one year, our church volunteered to host Angel Tree. Well, you know, it had something to do with helping children, and they called me and they said, Brother Webb, would you consider hosting Angel Tree this year for children? And I said, well, kind of tell me about it. And I said, anything involved helping children, I want to be a part of. And we volunteered, but I didn't really know what we were volunteering for. But man, I tell you, there were gifts bought from all over the city. And I mean, they were stacked up 10 feet tall. And I'm thinking, man, what are we going to do with all these gifts? It was a blessing, but I'm thinking, where are the kids?
Yeah.
And so one of the representatives were there, and they said, oh, don't worry about that. They'll be here shortly. Uh-huh. And I said, okay, 6 o'clock. Here it is around 5:15, 5:30. Our parking lot was filled with cars. And man, people were coming from everywhere. But here's what I noticed. I rarely saw any parents. It was all the grandparents. Bring home these children. And I was saying, where's the mom and dad? Oh, Brother Webb, my daughter's in prison. Brother Webb, my son's in prison. And we're raising their kids. Or they're in a rehab center somewhere. And the children was left with us to raise. And I'm thinking, my God. And that was several years ago.
Yeah.
And it's 5 times worse now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But church, if there ever was a time, amen. And you know, everybody talking about they're looking for ministry. Your ministry starts at home. Yeah, but with your own kids. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you can't get so busy doing your thing that you don't have time to raise your children. No! It's a shame when the kids are calling the babysitting mama and addressing you by your first name. Uh-oh, I know it's getting quiet here.
That's it.
Amen. But listen, you gotta ride it out. There are times, amen, where I mean it gets tough, but what you have to understand is there is an end to it.
Amen.
Tell somebody there's an end to it. There's an end to it. I'm telling you, and it looks like some seasons take a long time. And some of y'all say, Lord, when? Amen. I'm in a waiting period. I'm in a season of waiting. And I'm getting frustrated while I'm waiting. Some of you are frustrated in your marriage. You're frustrated in your ministry. You're frustrated raising your children. Come on. But I come to encourage you tonight. Hang on in there. Because the Lord's going to give you victory. How many believe that tonight? Come on and give me praise tonight. Tell somebody it's only a season. But you got to ride it out. It's a part of life. It's what we go through. Amen. But let me tell you something. Amen. You got to understand that no season lasts forever. Notice what he said. To everything. That's everything you deal with. Everything you go through. It's a season. Tell somebody it's seasonal. Praise God. I know it doesn't always feel good. And I know sometimes you say, Lord, how much longer? girl.
Yes, sir.
Come on now. Some of you, I mean, you're at a tipping point, in a turning point. You're right there. You're on the edge. And you say, if I get one more phone call, if one more thing happens, I don't know. I think I'm going over the edge. No, you're not. You're going to ride it out, and God's going to give you victory in the midst of the storm. Can you say amen? Praise God. You say, well, I don't understand. I'm living for God, and I'm still going through this storm. Let me tell you. Let me help you here. When Jesus told the disciples to get in, the Bible said he constrained them to get in the ship. What? To go to the other side. And they ran into a storm. Uh-oh, don't miss this. Just because you got Jesus with you, don't mean you won't have no storms. I wish I had a real church up in here. They had Jesus with you. You got Jesus in you, and you're still going to have storms. But hold on and ride it out, because you're going to the other side. Can you say amen? I got two more and I'll close. Amen. Then there's a season. It's called the wilderness season. It's a lonely season. It's a lonely season. Everybody's going to go through a wilderness season. Especially those that are in leadership. Where you feel like sometimes the heavens are brass. When you pray, amen, your prayers ricochet off the ceiling. Come on now. And you're saying, God, I'm surrounded by all these people, but I feel so lonely. I feel like I'm all alone. Let me tell you, you may get lonely, but you're never alone. Lord, I'm with you always. Come on now. Just let your neighbor tell them God is with you. Come on, God is with you. You need to know that. You need to be encouraged. Everybody goes through a wilderness season. Amen. Moses went through a wilderness season. Come on. Amen. What about Jesus? Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Wow. Now think about this. He goes from the water to the wilderness. This is important. Now, in the water, he's baptized with John. You know the text, right? Amen. It's where the Trinity shows up. The Bible says the heavens open. Amen. And there was a voice that comes from heaven. God the Father said, this is what? My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You have the Father, you have the Son being baptized, and the Bible said, a dove descended. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Right after his affirmation, now he goes into temptation. Wow. He goes into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Isn't that something? Right after he's being confirmed, right after his affirmation, now he's in a wilderness. Okay, from there to Gethsemane. Lonely. Come on, lonely. How lonely was it? Let me tell you how lonely it was. He asked his own disciples, would you pray with me 1 hour? Yeah. And the Bible says, they fell asleep. And then he nudged them again and said, hey, he asked them the second time, would you pray with me? Just give me 1 hour. They fell asleep. And then the third time he asked them, they fell asleep. And finally he says, sleep on. Sometimes you have to go through the wilderness. You feel like you're alone. But the Lord says, I'm with you. You know what I found out, Pastor? In my loneliest times in my life is when God's the closest to me. And you need to know in your loneliest time where you seem like he's at a distance, that's when God is the closest to you. Amen. It's only a wilderness experience, but the good news is it won't last forever.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And then finally, amen. When I walked in here tonight, the first song that you were singing, it was about expectation. Come on, somebody. And I thought, wow, he's in my Kool-Aid and he's got the flavor. Come on, somebody. I like this guy. Praise God. Amen. How many know that miracles are birthed, amen, on the platform of expectation? How many are expecting God to do something? Come on, I'm closing now. Some of you are in a season of expectation. Look like those kids have gone south. Look like they're going to hell on a train. Come on, somebody. But the Lord sent me here to tell you, don't lose your expectation. Tell that granddaughter, tell that grandson, you belong to God. You are dedicated to God. And I'm going to stand on the word until I see the manifestation. I still believe that God's going to save them. I still believe. Praise God for your daughter. Praise God for your grandchildren. musician. I just want you to come and play behind me, sir. Get ready and come. Amen. Amen. How many still expecting God to do it? The word expectation is, it's a confidence assurance that something is about to happen. Number two, it's a looking forward to something happening. And number three, that which is anticipated. Amen. A coming of something. Yes. Every morning you get up, you ought to say, God, I thank you for saving my children. Amen. Well, they're out there on drugs. Amen. Amen. They're out there in an alternate lifestyle. Lord, I thank you for saving my children. You're looking at what they're doing instead of standing on the promise of God. If God saved you, he can save them too. Come on, where's your faith tonight? How many still believe God? It's a season, but listen, you're about to come to the end of it. And finally, there it is. The last season is called the harvest season. Y'all want to be dancing right now. Amen, because you're getting ready to step into your harvest season. And when I was in group here, I saw combines in the field. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
They were combining corn. They called it yellow gold where we are. What do y'all call it in here? Corn. Okay. I knew you were going to say that. Okay, I like you. Come on, somebody. Listen, the combines were in the field because it was harvest time. And if you stay the course, tell somebody, stay the course. If you stay the course, amen, this season is going to end. Now, here's the thing that gives me joy. Back home, we have 5 restoration centers. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it's one of the most rewarding things as a preacher that you'll ever see. Because we have drug centers for men that's strung out from substance abuse and homeless. But we see them come to Jesus one-on-one. It's an awesome thing. See, everybody don't find their way to Jesus in the church building. Oh, you better hear what I'm saying. Some find Jesus in prison or in a rehab. Or you hear what I'm saying. And then we see young ladies. Amen. And we have a veterans home. Do we have any veterans in here? Amen. Wave at me. Praise God. Thank you for serving. Can we praise God for them too? Veterans home, those that are homeless, and those, ladies and gentlemen, amen, that are strung out and dealing with substance abuse, thank God that they have a place that they can come. But more than that, amen, many of them accept the Lord one-on-one, and it's an awesome thing, praise God. But many of them, ladies and gentlemen, have created a family divide where they have nothing to do with their children, and their children have nothing to do with them. You know why? Because in their addiction, they've stolen, they've lied to their parents. And you know what? There's some bitterness and there's some hurt. And the Lord spoke to me today and said that there will be parents in this room tonight that are hurting. And some of you are not even on speaking terms with your children. And don't you sit there and blame yourself. And the devil's having a field day in your mind. What did you do wrong? You didn't do this right. You didn't do that. No, stop it. It's a season that you're going through. They made those decisions, not you. Come on, somebody. And when they get a certain age, you cannot twist their arm and you cannot make them do anything. But you got to put them in the hands of God and trust God to work it out. It's a season. Come on. Who am I talking to tonight? Because it's tell them that the season is coming to an end. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you can flow with him. Maybe he can give us something. Come on up real quick. He can play behind you. Listen to me. Oh, I feel this so strong, Lord. Listen, church. I didn't come to preach you happy. I've been doing this a long time. I know what buttons to push, and I know how to. Okay? That doesn't interest me. What's important to me is those people that are in this room that's hurting right now, and you see no light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
This is the way the Holy Spirit is bringing it tonight. But I want to minister to those that's in this room right now. You're going through a season of frustration. It doesn't mean that you don't love God. You still love God. But you are so frustrated in your spirit. It's almost like you have to drag yourself into the house of God. And I want to pray with you right now. I want you to get up and I want you to come. Father, he's singing, the next move is yours. I've delivered my soul. Amen. The call of God is on your life, but you're frustrated. Okay? And then I want to minister to those parents. And not just parents, but grandparents that's in here right now. And you're frustrated in your spirit and you're saying, God, how much longer? Some of you have no relationship with your children. And that is called frustration. It breaks your heart. Some of you in the middle of a custody battle. And you're saying, God, if things don't turn out the way I think they're going to turn out, it's going to be bad. And you become worried and well-doing. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, I'm going to give you healing tonight. Don't procrastinate and don't wait another second. The next move is yours. I want you to get up and come right now.